What's up, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Worship Fuel. My name is Matt McCoy. I'm the founder of Loop Community and the host of the Worship Fuel Show. And wow, do I have an early Christmas present for you. Today, we have Phil Wickham on the show, and we're going to be talking about his new Christmas album, Hallelujah, It's Christmas. And I've got a few other questions for him, and I'm just really looking forward to having this conversation. So if you're watching live, type in the chats any questions you have, and let's dive into this conversation. Let's bring in Phil now.
Looking for affordable, high-quality resources for your church? Check out the app lineup from Worship Tools. You can build sleek service presentations in Presenter, schedule volunteers to those services in Planning, access chord charts and other worship materials in Music Stand, and manage church attendee information with Community.
What's up, Phil?
What's up, Matt? Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you, man. So, oh gosh, here it comes again, Christmas time. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and you are rolling out new music. Every year, there's a new Christmas music from you. I love it, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a wonderful time of the year. I know everybody, there's lots of people out there that have different ideas and emotions and memories around Christmas, but man, I love the season. I always have ever since I was a kid, you know, like, getting out the Christmas lights and getting out the tree and all that. It's always just kind of like been just so fun for me. And I'm thankful to have good family and good memories surrounding it. Then as also a follower of Jesus and a believer in the story, putting out songs every year in this record, it keeps the story fresh and relights the fire of what it all means. So it's equally for me as it is for other people, but yeah, Hallelujah, It's Christmas. It's awesome.
It's out now. Yeah. We've got the tracks to it, Loop and charts. And, is it mostly because you release Christmas music all the time? Well, I mean, every year it seems like, is it a sentimental thing, or is it, there's just some, like, you just love singing and cause you know, some worship leaders are like, they dread Christmas time because Christmas songs are also not the easiest songs to play. You know, it's not like a Holy Forever that's easy to play four chords.
Yeah, I think for me it's all of that. Yeah, I think it's a sentimental thing. Just purely from like an artist creative perspective, just like thinking of creating something that might be a soundtrack to someone's like cool moment with their family, or opening gifts on Christmas morning, or having Christmas dinner, and you know, a song that I was a part of arranging or writing was like on in the background. And the cool thing about Christmas music is if a record becomes like, you know, if I put out a record and that family really connects it with it one year, like it kind of becomes like, just like the records I listen to, you know, Nat King Cole and, you know, the Michael Bublé one that came out a little bit more recently than that, not so old, but like, those have become records that we always listen to now every year, because not only do we like them, but they're like, there's a nostalgic thing. You connect it to the season. And so to be able to create something just as an artist that does that is amazing. But then also I put at the forefront of the records, I hope it's pretty obvious, like this amazing story that is almost kind of sad that it's a little bit taboo to like to talk about Jesus in the manger in July, like almost gets like a scoff, you know, it's like, it's not Christmas. Don't talk about the wise men, you know? But it's sad that we kind of saved the story for 1 month a year almost, because it's like, it's just in tandem with the cross. Like God Arnett came to save us. He'll be called Manuel. They were waiting for Messiah for thousands and thousands of years, and he finally came, and then the heavens took a moment to open up, and angels came down and proclaimed it, and all these beautiful things happened, and then that ultimately led to Jesus riding on the donkey into Jerusalem and then crucified and risen again. And it's like we only get to talk about the beginning of the story 1 month a year, and because of that, and also because I get to go on these tours every year that I remind my heart about what happened, and I get to put out these records. And I just know that it takes me a good 3, 4, 5 nights of singing Christmas songs on a tour to be like, to have that moment of fresh revelation of like, goodness gracious, I can't believe the humility and love of the Father, that this whole thing is true, you know, that Jesus came and God sent his only son, and that these records might relight that in people's hearts is like kind of the ultimate goal, you know?
Yeah. I love that. You're right. We should bring playing Christmas music year round somehow in. Because you're right, though, that these songs are telling a story that, yeah, we're only spending maybe 3 or 4 weeks doing that in our churches.
I'm not like condemning that, but I'm just like, it's kind of sad a little bit, you know, it's like if you read Matthew 1 and 2 anytime other than December, people are like, what is going on here? This is not Christmas, you know, but it's definitely my goal to help people not just like experience like a cozy Christmas song. Hopefully that happens too, but to hopefully put their minds in a place of like, whoa, God pursued. That's crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, and you're also giving worship leaders new ways to sing old songs and new songs entirely too for the Christmas season. And it can be, it can be so hectic for worship leaders having to like plan, you know, because they're starting to plan their Christmas services, picking the songs, the special music. How would you encourage a worship leader to kind of approach this hectic season in church life?
Oh yeah. It's like, it's already hectic, right? I mean, I grew up watching my dad. I mean, he still is on staff at churches, you know, he's and always big churches and lots of pressure on him and lots of people looking to him to lead worship and choose the songs and lead big teams and all that. And I saw that firsthand week after week after week. And seeing his faithfulness and his just like willingness to serve, like just want to say, first of all, thank you to everybody out there that is in my dad's doing what my dad did. It's just like, you're hearing the complaints. You're also hearing the beautiful things. And every week you're trying to pick a new set and you're trying to teach a dentist how to play bass and stuff like that. You know, like it's just
that's
like
totally
it's,
happening.
Yeah. And it happened in my church, you know, and just say, I want to say thank you to all you worship leaders. And I know that sometimes it can feel like a grind, you know, and it really, and I'm not on staff at a church. I'm not there like at leading in a church every week, but in a similar way, like I'm seeing, you know, 90 to 150 nights a year, I'm singing the same songs, you know, and even that can be a grind which is crazy how we can have something so beautiful and sacred to sing about and talk about. If I'm not intentional about like keeping the sacred in my life, then it so quickly becomes a checklist and a source of dread sometimes, a source of like, it's got to get almost like, okay, if you're like working out, like I got to get through this run again and I'll just be done, you know? And so it takes like this, it's such like the cliche, we've all heard it, but like when I take time by myself in prayer, you know, and in the word, like, thinking on the stuff that I'm going to be singing about and thinking on Christmas and thinking on God loves me so much, he sent his only son. And it's really that secret place stuff that like keeps the stuff on stage from going from like, okay, like let's get through this to, I'm so excited to try to help pastor people's hearts into a place I know they can be because I was there and that's not easy, you know, it takes time, but like, it's so worth it. And so, yeah, I know it's a hectic time for worship leaders, but like, I would just encourage some guys out there, just like have your 15 minutes, even like today, as you go into the season, just like read a little bit of the account of the Christmas story and ask God to like make it alive to you in a fresh way. I mean, I'm a huge fan of imaginative prayer or like an imaginative reading of like, what would it feel like to be feeling the grass under your feet and then looking up and seeing angels and them saying, this is happening. And then you've heard in Psalms that your family sung and you've heard in synagogue and temple about this Messiah that was going to come. And now heaven opened and told you the one is going to, who was always promised is coming. And then you think, but like, what's going to happen? Cause we're in Roman occupation and are we actually going to be free? And what does this all mean? And we have to see it for himself. And you run as fast as you can to the stable, like I gotta see. And you go and you look in and then there's this baby just like these angels told you, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and there's Mary and Joseph, and you realize it's all true and you can't keep it inside what you just had, you have to testify it. And like, And so then like, okay, like I want to step into that same excitement and anticipation. And I have to testify this as the shepherd, you know, like, because I truly do believe it. And that took an encounter with heaven for the shepherd to be in a place where he needed to testify, you know, where he couldn't help but testify. And so, so I just encourage all you worship leaders out there, like seek an encounter with heaven on your own, you know, out in the field, like the metaphorical field, you know, in your office. Yeah. Waking up early, like make the Christmas story come alive to me. It's more than Home Alone 2 and Elf and Drummer Boy and all that. It's more than Christmas Light. You all know that, but I'm just speaking from my own experience. Like I don't take a moment like to really like let it sink in, then I miss it completely. And then I can't lead people there if I've missed it, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And I was thinking about, you know, cause some of these Christmas songs have so many words in them, so many thoughts. And it can be so easy to just like sing them and not actually think about at all what you're saying.
Totally.
And so even just like taking the song and reading the lyrics and really trying to like digest it and okay, what is this saying? And cause it is such an awesome opportunity that we have every year to bring people back to the story of Christ. And and through these songs, and man, you just do such a great job at writing these songs and making them accessible for churches. Because you understand churches, you understand worship leaders, and maybe that's because your dad, you know, maybe that, you know, it kind of comes. You grew up in it. I mean, you grew up watching this happen and how it works at a church and for worship leaders. So thank you for what you're doing, Mike. I have a 2-part question for you. What is your favorite song on this album that you like? Really? Well, not you're like. What is the song on this album that you really hope worship leaders take and use this season? And then the second question is, what's your all-time favorite Christmas song to sing?
Well, on this album, there's a few that I specifically arranged and wrote thinking of like, okay, if I was bringing this to my Sunday morning worship team, you know, or I was getting my dad asked me to like arrange a song or write a song, you know, there's one called Angels, parentheses, glory to God, that I literally sat down and wrote with the target in mind of like, okay, I want an upbeat Christmas song that just puts some fresh life in something people are already going to know. I don't want to teach a whole new Christmas song and spend 3 weeks teaching it, you know, on Sunday morning, and then also I'm not going to sing it anymore until next year.
Yeah.
And so that's what we all want, right? As worship leaders, we want to bring in something that everybody kind of knows, familiar with, immediately gets in this idea of like, okay, we're in Christmas, but also there's a freshness. And that was the intention with Angels, was taking Angels We Have Heard on High, making it a song that worship leaders and myself can start a Christmas set with. So it's got some energy. People can be singing it right away, but then it's got like that extra little moment, which is the bridge. That's why it's called Angels, Glory to God. The bridge is glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the high. And, like, pretty easy to sing, you know? And, and like you said, like, I just, am I frozen right now?
No, you're good. I see you.
Did I freeze? Am I back?
No, you're good. Yeah. Okay, we heard you. Cool.
All right. So, that was, written and arranged intentionally for me, knowing like, this is the kind of thing I would want to start my worship set with.
Yeah.
And, so Angels,
which, by the way, Phil, I got to just say, you are like the king at the songs that are opening worship set lists. Like, I feel like, and there was such a need for so long. I feel like it was so hard to find like that number one song, the song you open the service with.
It is hard to find.
And then like a couple years ago, all of a sudden you just like were writing like the number one song that like every worship leader is using to open their set list with. And you just keep pumping them out. It's amazing.
What an honor. It's so cool. And I mean, like you said, I just write them so that, because I know there's a huge need for me, you know? And, but maybe like, what you, I mean, there's other worship leaders and songwriters out there too, that understand trying to make it special, make it work.
Yeah.
It's amazing that people are playing them. I love it. But Angels, that's what immediately comes to mind is like, man, I hope people use this and see that it could be a good tool, because I'm going to be using this year. My favorite song on the record is really hard. There's a couple I really love, because a few of them are really special to me. One, I sang with my brother, Evan Wickham, which is this like Cradle in Bethlehem kind of Nat King Cole vibe that goes in a Holy Night. There's another version of Winter Wonderland. Anyways, I'm singing on it with my daughters, but there's one song called Worth the Wait. That's like a new Christmas song. that we wrote for this record. And I really, really love singing it. It's got this like long bridge that kind of continues like, oh, like one moment after the other continues to like put more truth on top of other truth. And I love that.
Yeah, that's amazing, man. So switching gears from Christmas, there's an Instagram clip recently of you singing a song in French. You're in Canada, you're leading worship, and you're singing Holy Forever in French. I think that's such an awesome clip and such an amazing like display of meeting the people you're leading where they're at. Obviously, like that congregation probably was, there were a lot of French-speaking people in that congregation, I'm guessing. But tell us the story of that. Like, what in the world? How'd that happen, and how did you learn French?
Well, I definitely didn't learn French. I did learn like the phrases of Holy Forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did a Canada tour with the good buddies, Josh Baldwin and Christian Stanfill. And the last date of the tour was going to be in Montreal, which, you know, they speak French throughout Canada. People speak French, but in Quebec, that province, they speak it like very, it's like the main language, you know? Wow. And so yeah. One of the guys that was traveling around with us is from the church we're going to. And he was saying, hey, if there's any moments in French that you could learn of any song, these are the few that we sing at our church and we'd love to teach it to you. Cause I know people would be so blessed. Cause if you can imagine like, and this is for all you Montreal people, anybody out there, listen, like, it's not like they're in a whole country of like a huge country like France where they all speak in the same language. Like it's this little province in these cities surrounded by like a whole Northern American continent that speaks a different language. And so there's yes. a lot of pride and like they it's really important to them that they kind of keep their heritage, you know? And so I think there was that, but also just like singing in their first initial language is just so special too. And so the guy, he spelled out phonetically all these French words. Like he didn't spell out the words as they're spelled. He literally was like,
how like, you would pronounce it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I started doing, he's like, bro, it sounds great. I was like, okay. And so then we had to figure out, okay, how do you put, because all you worship leaders know this, like there's the confidence monitor in the back. So I needed to put the phonetic spelling on the back confidence monitor, but we had to put the real spelling on the main monitor, which was like kind of a task, you know?
Right.
So I went for it. And the cool thing is after like the first two or three sentences or phrases, people realized what was happening and they just freaked out and started just belting out these songs so loud.
Yeah. That is so awesome, man.
I definitely have a lot more work to do on my French, but really, special.
What would you have done if the confidence monitor didn't pop up? We all have that worship leader moment where like the lyrics are not on the monitor.
Yeah.
What would you probably just be like, you guys sing it.
You know, yeah, that's one thing I like, if especially at like worship conferences or when I'm hanging out with worship leaders, is just really trying to make people and all you leaders out there realize like, I think there's just this love because we're on a stage, because maybe we see things happen on YouTube. We have this idea of how things should go. So like when expectations aren't hit, I think sometimes we freeze up or we get angry or like we have like an emotional reaction. That's totally understandable. But honestly, I've come to I definitely don't engineer mess ups. That's for sure. But I've come to really love the hiccups because if you just look at them as ways to connect with people and ways to break down walls and ways to wake people up. And this didn't happen, but I'm just like using a little Phil Wickham word of wisdom, like breaking a string or, you know, the keyboard stand falls or lights go out. All these things have happened. And the guitar player starts a song in a half key up. Yeah. All these things happen to me, you know? And if you could just see it as like, okay, we're all like, it's going to be okay. We're all still alive. Jesus is still King. And you use a moment to like make fun of yourself. Use a moment to be like, hey, you guys take it away. You like acknowledge it a little bit. Like if the phrases didn't go up on the screen, I would have just said, hey guys, I was going to sing this in French. I remember the first word, but you guys take it away. You guys know, holy, you know, you just tell them. And I think people would freak out like, come on. Oh, na, 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 na. Come on. I think acknowledging the hiccup and like realizing that it's totally okay and Jesus' presence is still there is such a win for like, even I remember being in Chicago, your hometown, years ago, and the power went out on the block that I was supposed to lead at. And so they had like four candles in the whole church that they brought, and I sat around them. Like, this all happened in like a minute moment. And we had no PA. And so I just sat on the front of the stage and I said, "Hey, everybody gather in. I can't sing that loud." And there's like 2,000 people, and they gathered in. I would just start a song, and it became one of the most incredible worship moments that I remember it clearly. And it was over a decade ago. I remember it like very, very powerful. And I think it was because people realized like, oh, we're all in this together. Like, and it kind of wakes you up from like, I'm here at church service or I'm here at a concert, to like, oh, like he deserves our praise, you know? And,
Those are great moments. They do just make everything more relatable too. Like, 100%. Hey, we're in this together. We're all human. We're here just to worship God. And especially if there's worship leaders in the audience, they all know, like they've had those exact same moments at their church. So they're like, oh, okay. Even Phil Wickham breaks a string or puts the capo on the wrong fret, you know, totally. On accident.
Many times I've done that.
So you are staying just so busy. Like, you did the summer tour with Brandon Lake, releasing new music, got a documentary. How in the world, you have a family. How in the world are you keeping it all together, man? Like, how? That's a lot. It's a lot on your plate.
Yeah. I've always kind of prided myself, not being perfectly, and I'm saying this before I go into what those last couple months have been. Not pride in myself, but I always kind of felt like, man, there's a lot going on, but I think we keep it really well balanced. Marriage is good. You know, all this stuff is good. Yeah. And my heart is still totally in it. And I would say at the end of this last summer, there was just it all had caught up. And by the time I was, which was a beautiful, I absolutely loved the summer worship mass tour with my buddy Brandon Lake, just so many people coming together to worship Jesus, and so many people raising their hands to receive Jesus, which is awesome. But then like the post show, cause then you're like, well, is this just people like, yeah, I love Jesus, or are you actually receiving Jesus? Cause this is like thousands of people every night. And then to get like DM after DM after email of people saying, I was praying for my son or praying for my husband since we got married, he received Jesus, and now we're going to church. Like, it was amazing, you know? So the ministry is beautiful, but dude, at the end of that tour, I felt so empty, because there was that tour and then a tour before it, then working on a new record and then getting Christmas record done. And then all in between that. Yeah. Anyways, I had realized, I was not striking a balance at home. That's the first thing. Like there were so many great opportunities that me and my wife both agreed, these are so good. We need feels like the Lord's in this, let's go for it. It wasn't just me chasing stuff. Both of us agreeing together, which, you know, that's one thing. Like, it's like, how can we say no to this? Or how can we not do this? And I was just talking, I heard a worship leader, a really good friend of mine, talking recently, who made a big impact on my life. He's a little bit older than me. And, but I heard him talking recently about how, you know, like the ministry is so sweet. And for years I had FOMO, kind of missing out on I had to go on the mission trip. I had to be a part of this thing. I had to do, but now looking back, I realized like, it would have been healthy and okay for me to say no to some things, for me to tell leadership, for me actually to be honest with leadership, like, hey, like my family's hurting right now, all this stuff that you're maybe afraid to bring up, or you don't want to miss out. And so there really is like a balancing act of like, okay, first ministry is me and Jesus, second ministry, me and my wife, third ministry, me and my children, and then fourth ministry is me and the church, you know, and then fifth ministry is me and the world. And if decisions are made with that in mind, then I think there's a lot healthier situation, you know. And thankfully I make decisions with my wife, but even then we were both like, why do we feel spent, you know? And it took us a good 7 weeks of like talking and praying and really we're going to rethink about how we do the next couple of years, just because we realize, okay, like I think we overdid it. But all that being said, I think what was really the biggest thing in my heart was like, I can get so caught up in the doing of ministry, and it's really, it's like a false sense of security, spiritually speaking, when I can point at things and say like, look at the fruit, you know, like, I mean, obviously the fruit is good things, but look at what I was doing here. Look what I was doing here. People came to Jesus, people lifting their hands in worship, writing new songs, people saying they're blessed. This is awesome. And you make this list of like visual, like, wow, I did all these things. You know, for all you guys, I was at church early setting up this. I led this many times at service. I did counseling. I did hospital visits. All the things that we do as ministers too. Like,
yeah,
there's so many things we could chalk up to the doing. And then I just realized, like, I was spending so much and not like being with the Lord. You know, like I was being with Him on a stage with a bunch of people. And obviously, not like I was totally neglecting my relationship with God, but I wasn't running to Him every morning in the business of it all, you know, like, and I didn't even realize it. Like, I just was like, oh, like I've been running on like checklisting and my heart feels so like, if I see one more Instagram feed of myself saying, hey, check this next thing out, or I'm going to slap myself in the face. That's how I felt. I just felt so over anything, but like, I just miss you, Jesus. And I'm so thankful for the getting that place. But I also realized, man, I don't want to get to that place again where I feel so dry in my inside. And that was kind of new for me, honestly. That was like a this last couple months thing. I'm just being honest with you. Because I know that's going to relate to a lot of you worship leaders out there. Like, when we're doing the same things, when we're checklisting ministry boxes, when we're, you know, we start running to the wrong things to kind of like to nullify and pacify. And that's when like guys get into weird, you know, that's when the relationships start, they shouldn't start, or the wrong websites pop up on guys, you know, computers and all that stuff that we kind of don't talk about that we totally should, you know, and like, and it's so seek first the kingdom of heaven. Like, was like became my kind of theme the last couple months, is like, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all these other things will take care. Like, just what's today, just sit on it. And it wasn't like me having to go pray and fast for a week up in the mountains. It was just sitting on the front of my bed. Jesus, before I do anything today, before I pick up my phone, before I look at Instagram, before I look at my emails, I just acknowledge that You are King of everything. But I also know that You allow me to make my own choices, and I make a choice to let You not just be King of all the universe, but be King of my life as well. Empower me with Your Holy Spirit to walk in love and patience and faithfulness. Lead me and guide me. Awaken my heart to Your love today in a fresh way. Let me walk with You today. You know, sometimes that includes Bible, but just even that of like, before I get into the day, like, I invite You into my day, Jesus. I walk with You today. Like, even starting the first 2 minutes of my day like that, it changes things, you know? A couple hours later, it's like, I just want to listen to worship music right now. And a couple hours later than that, it's like, oh, cool. I've got an hour to go for a walk and talk to the Lord. It just changes everything. So I just encourage all you worship leaders, like, it is to be a good minister, like to be able to minister and bring people with the same place you are and all that stuff, and you're pouring out, but like the Lord is waiting for you to make a space for Him to love you and to bless you. Like, and you know that, but like, so often I think we get like in a checklist mindset of like, man, I need to go read my Bible, did that, or I didn't read my Bible today. Like, oh, I didn't get to check that off. I'm in a bad place with God. But like, may You, in a fresh way, as I am relearning, even in this season, like, learn and relearn to be desperate and love the presence of God and to be with Him.
Yeah.
Not even to like have a stepping stone to be a guy who's ready to lead worship, but just because may Your heart be softened to His presence again and be desperate to be there. It took some burnout. Like, we have to be like, man, I miss this so much. But you worship leaders, just like, give the Lord 10 minutes in the morning or in the evening or in the afternoon. Take a walk, pour a cup of tea, take a walk at night, 15 minutes. Just tell Him how thankful you are and let Him talk to you. It's like, it's so that I would say that was like, that's the basis for all the other things that happen that keep burnout from happening.
Man, that's so good and so relatable to so many worship leaders. And even myself, I'm thinking about... I was thinking about a memory of when I was early married, and I ended up playing at a youth camp for 4 weeks. Told my wife, I actually had forgotten to tell her that I was going, because I was just used to single life for so long. And I had signed up for 4 weeks of playing this youth camp in Indiana, and I peaced out. But I remember all these good things were happening, you know, like these kids were getting baptized and saved. And I'm like, and I'd be on the phone with her and be like, hey, this is like amazing stuff that's happening. But I was putting it first. Like I was making that the most important thing, where it's like, God, and I remember God just challenging me, being like, hey, your number one ministry now is your marriage, like your wife. And I just feel like everything you're saying there, all those things are good, like your family, your kids, your church, the, you know, your ministry to the world, but it's the priorities and getting them in the right order. That's so important. And we can get that like way out of whack, like so easily. And even as simple as what you're saying of like, I know as worship leaders, you can just spend hours thinking about your set list and planning your charts and your tracks for the week, but then realize at the end of the week that you spent zero time actually talking to God. And
yeah.
And it's, I just think we can easily just get distracted and not put the right things first. So that's such a great encouragement, man. I appreciate you sharing that.
And I mean, that's why I'm bringing it up, you know, like,
yeah,
we just put out this documentary for The One, and it was so, it, you could see like the rooms were filled with people. It was just based on summer worship nights, which is, it's cool to put it out. And I was so proud of the team and everything and an amazing ministry. And like, and, but yeah, you can be doing these, even these big things, and
yeah,
and just, and your heart can just be like getting, becoming more and more of a drought, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if, it's kind of like, maybe it's because of where I felt like I kind of hit it. And I just feel really compelled just to follow you worship leaders like out there. Like,
yeah.
Maybe even just saying an open-eyed prayer for you guys. Like, may your heart be desperate for the presence of God and being with him and for his word to be in your heart. You know, like that, may you like be hungry for it like food and thirsty for it like water, you know, and may you feel in a fresh way these songs and these truths that we sing over and over again, you know, glorious, I ran out of that grave and you turn graves into gardens and Jesus Christ, my living hope. And so I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Like I know what it feels like to be on stage and to be like, am I even thinking about what I'm saying? And do I feel this? Is this real for me? And all, I just want to be honest. Like this, I know what that feels like. And I hate being in that place, you know, of like, man, I know my mouth is just singing the right notes and words, but like my heart is not in line with what I'm saying. And, and you don't want anybody, and you almost feel like, man, I'm a fake and all that stuff. And, and it really, the way to, that I have found to connect those things is that in the parts of life that no one sees, and the things you do and don't do, is where you cultivate like a bridge between your mouth and your heart. You know, you open up the Psalms and you really try to put yourself in the place of David. How long, O Lord? It's like, wow, David complained, Lord. And he complained and he worshiped and he loved and he had a relation. He related to God and he was not the greatest, but like, make me like a David, Lord, who relates to you, runs to you in the good and the bad and the high and the low. And then you read about Matthew and Matthew and Luke and Jesus, you came for me. This is amazing. And you read about Jesus who touches the leper and touches the lame and touches the adulterous woman and forgives her and forgives them when all the religious people wouldn't. It's like, wow, this is the heart of the Father. And then you'll never leave us and never forsake us. Then you go into Paul and like, hey, since we're so surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, so many have come before us. Like, let us run the race with endurance and lay aside all the things that don't matter, you know? And I just feel, man, I've said it earlier. I don't usually talk about this stuff, but I said it earlier. I just like, for all you guys that are like, there's this stuff you need to be doing, which is like, you need to be cultivating a relationship with God and opening up your scriptures. And I say that not as someone who's perfected it, but I say it as someone who's like realizing I need to do it more. And the more I do it, the more I write songs that I'm so excited to bring people into, because it's, I don't know, it's not just truth to me, but it's also what's inside, you know? And the more I can't wait to get on stage, be like, you know, Gloria in excelsis Deo, he's, the King has come. Like, I believe this and I know you should too. But also it's this I choose not to do. It's not getting caught in the hitting the wrong tag on Instagram or or looking at some weird YouTube thing too long, or like giving into the stuff that's selfish, that's like worshiping at the idol of yourself, you know, whether it's pornography or just like lingering on something too long, or like mm-hmm. looking at something that's all about yourself, you know, like all the stuff that's like worshiping at the idol of yourself. The more you worship at the idol of selfishness, the less room there is to worship at the feet of Jesus, you know? And so I just like, man, encourage you, like get people involved, like get all the stuff out of your life that's like keeping you from the freedom. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. And live in that freedom and watch God refill up those places that you're filling in with other stuff, with his truth and with his joy and with his life and with his peace. And
yeah.
And watch burnout become a fresh green again. Watch that's the arid desert come alive again, you know? And so it's just like on my heart to say, I love you worship leaders so much. And y'all are like ground zero. I mean, what about like that story, Jehoshaphat sent out his worship leaders to the front lines, because Jesus said, our God said to them, you do not have to fight in this battle. Just stand firm, hold your position of faith and see what the Lord will do on your behalf. See the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. And so one of the beautiful moments in scripture where the people of God actually listened to the promise of God and said, okay, we don't have to fight. So we're going to worship. And he sends his worship leaders and his chief priests and the people clothed as if they're going to walk into the presence of God out to the front line in battle. And even the battle song was not like, we're going to take you out by our God. You know, he's going to send lightning bolt. The battle song was glory to God for his steadfast love endures forever, you know, just pointing up to the Lord. And like, as you guys pass your church, like, man, pastor your own hearts into it too. There's just so much to be had in the Lord. And I know so many of you guys are tired and burnt, and a lot of you guys aren't, and a lot of you guys are like, bro, that's not me at all. God bless you, and like, man, keep running for it. And and I just want to encourage you guys, like, you're not alone in the struggles, and there's no condemnation in Jesus. I am finding new fresh life in knowing and being with God in a fresh way recently, and I just want to spill that out onto you guys. It's like, whoever's not taking advantage of that, may you hopefully even this conversation, like, gosh, Lord, I'm going to go find a book. I'm going to find a commentary on Romans, just start finding you. And I'm going to go read a psalm every day. I'm going to go pray some, like, seek the Lord, and he will be so faithful to meet you and be all the things promised, the stream in the desert and life to your bones and resurrection savior. And all those things will 100% be faithful.
Yeah, man, that's incredible. Thank you for that encouragement. I think that I know what I'm doing after this. I'm going to close the laptop and go take a 15-minute walk and just thank God, man. And I want to encourage everybody who's watching this, man. If you're watching this live, if you've got 15 minutes of spare, go do it, like, right now. Like, just take time 100%. With the Lord. Because I love what you said, too. I do think if you make this connection between here and here, that's also a quick way to avoid burnout as a worship leader, because now it comes to life. It's you're doing it out of just joy, out of belief, out of, you know, your relationship with Christ.
Yeah, out of relationship, out of like, it's like, you're going from like, this is my, which is good. This is my service and my duty to my community and my church, out of like a life of belief, to like, I have, you're like aligning your heart with the reality of what is real. Like, Jesus is King. Jesus did die and rise again. Jesus did resurrect. Jesus is freeing people. Jesus, it does say, come to me, all you who are weary. All these things are real. You know, this is like the truest reality. And like, that's what we're doing, is we're just like, we're taking a moment in this world where everything is trying to pull us from that reality. We're taking a moment like, oh, I'm reconnecting with the reality of what is real.
Yeah.
He is seated in the heavenlies, and so are we. And, but like, it's a daily thing, but it's not, it's also not like, oh, you have to redo a book report every day. Like you said, 15 minutes, literally 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Go walk around your church and just spend 5 minutes thanking God, and walk back into your office and just like, literally, when's the last time you did that? Do it.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Let's do it. Everyone, let's do it right now. Phil, thank you so much, man, for taking the time to pour into worship leaders. Thank you for the songs you're writing that are impacting churches everywhere. And you're giving worship leaders songs to lead and churches songs to sing. And I also just appreciate your heart. Thanks for pouring into them here. I feel like this was a good little pastoral moment. It was one of those also like capo moments too, like what we're talking about. Like, I feel like we're talking about things that everyone's thinking about, but maybe are afraid to actually talk about. They're all experiencing it. They're all feeling it. And it just helps hearing it from someone like you too, you know, because there's a lot of worship leaders who are looking up to you. And I feel like you opening your heart like that and sharing just as it means the world to a lot of worship leaders. So thank you for that.
Well, I truly do. I mean, I'm there right there with you guys. I know God has had me, you know, I've been doing it for a while and traveling around, and I've got maybe more of a public, broader ministry than other worshipers. But I'm really, I am just another guy with a guitar, just trying to figure out salvation with fear and trembling. And
yeah,
be a good husband. I know, like all you guys, be good husbands, be good dads, be faithful leader. I want to see Jesus. I know you guys do too. I just want to, I can't wait to see the face of Jesus. And I can't wait to see all that was not meant to become untrue again, you know, when he makes all things right. I can't, and I really, and I know you guys do too, I want to hear him say, well done, you know, like what a crazy moment. Like that I took the big or little in comparison to what he is, like my minuscule, what he gave me, and I brought it to him, and I just said, use it. Yeah. And I kept as best as I could. I made choices to keep my spirit pure and intentions pure, so that I wasn't getting in the way of the blessing that he had for my life, you know, by packing on things I didn't need of religion or shame, you know. And so I know you guys are there too. And so, man, may God empower you in a new, fresh way as you walk into the Christmas season, y'all. May the story of Christmas not make you want to barf, you know, because you like just Chris, you know, people red and green and lights and capitalism and all that stuff, you know, like, and buying and selling, like, but may it come alive to you. Like Jesus came, you know, and he's still with us today, walking into our messes, just like the mess of the stable. And may you lead from a place of excitement and anticipation and love over your congregations, not judging them, not frustrated or why they're not lifting their hands, not that stuff, but leading from a place of like, you guys, like, let's open our eyes and see this in a fresh way, you know, because I did last day. And so love you guys so much.
Yeah. Thanks, Phil. Merry Christmas. Good to see you. I hope that the next few months are really restful, and hope to see you again soon. All right, guys. Great conversation with Phil there. Make sure, first of all, go get the Hallelujah It's Christmas album, wherever you listen to music. We have all the tracks and the charts at Loop Community and on CCLI Song Select. So go check all that out. Great songs for your church this season. And the next thing I want to challenge you to do is exactly what we were talking about. Close your device. Go on just a 5-minute walk around your church, church office space or wherever. Go walk around outside your church and just spend some time with the Lord, just thanking him. And I think you're going to be really blessed and encouraged by doing that. So I want to encourage you to do that now. And we'll see you next time. Thanks for joining us.